This is Eugene Braverock, the Chief in Wonder Woman, and you're listening to East Society Podcast.
It's Mexler on the beat.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's the Zisu, back again. East Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 85. Today we'll be talking about TV, including One Day at a Time, Impractical Jokers, Into the Effing World, Altered Carbon, and Counterpart. Movies including 1517 to Paris, 12 Strong, Den of Thieves, Winchester, Hostels, and the Clover Paradox. And as always, the week in sports, including the Super Bowl and Mariners basketball, the week in Funko and collecting, weekly Star Wars moment, and our weekly random movie song and recommendations. But before I go any further, fly, Eagle, fly, it's the Miz!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to our Star Wars Last Jedi episode. Yeah, man, it took us forever to do it, but we did it for you guys. Also threw in a little bit of the Solo teasers for you guys. So that was the last show. Check it out if you haven't heard it. Everyone else that listened to it, thank you so much, because I seen those download numbers and they were good. But yeah, let's get into this.
Yeah, sounds good. It looks like we've kind of got a split this week where it's I'm almost all TV and you're almost all movies. So how do you want to break it down?
Let's just start off with TV, because I got a lot of movies to cover.
Okay. I guess I'll kick it off with one of our favorites, Impractical Jokers. They're back for season 7. I'm excited. I love the show. I throw it on all the time. They were gone for 2 months, but they're back with a new season. I'm excited. I do gotta say though, did you catch either of these first two episodes of the new season?
No, they're all recorded. I haven't sat down and watched them.
I gotta say, one of them, I was like, damn, that was like dangerous. Like, I was like, it was only slightly funny too. I was like, man, that was that could have been kind of rough. You'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. So. But either way, I'm excited to have the guys back, and it's just consistently funny. I love that show. So, but why don't you hit him with what you've been watching?
I finally finished One Day at a Time, the remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it. It's on Netflix. There was 13 episodes, and this season was just as good as the first season. It was an amazing show. But the very last episode, episode 13, just had me laughing, but man, it had me in tears. It was a rough one. But that's life. And you got to take everything one day at a time. So, but it was an amazing series. I love this. I cannot wait for season 3. I'm pretty sure they'll get a season 3. It was just everything that I've read online about it. Other than the haters saying why they rebooting the show, man. It's a really good show, man. They cover a lot of different everyday life, not problems, but just topics, you'll say, for each episode. It was a really good show, man, and I just couldn't believe that, first of all, that I would even like the show. I did love the original show, but this one, I just gave it a shot, but it was good and it was funny. And they cover a lot of good, wide variety of life stuff. So it's a really good show. If you guys haven't seen it, and I'm selling it to you good enough, do check it out. It's an amazing show. And my fingers are crossed we get a season 3. But One Day at a Time, awesome show.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't get another season, because not only from you, I've heard from other people that they really love that show. So I'd be surprised if they didn't keep it going. That'd be crazy. They should keep it going.
Yeah.
So speaking of Netflix shows, did you hear about that End of the Effing World?
I've seen it. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's worth checking out just to see if you like it. They're rather short episodes, only like 17, between like 17 and 20 minutes long. And it's actually a rather short series. But yeah, it's a pretty extreme show. It's about a young guy. He kind of has kind of psychotic tendencies. He's like a wannabe, like you could almost say, like serial killer in the making. And the girl, the main girl in it too, she's like not as psycho, but she's still like, I guess you could say, like antisocial. And I've heard it compared to like as a modern day Bonnie and Clyde, Natural Born Killers, like that kind of vibe of a show. It's like the modern version of that. So that sounds like something you'd be into. I only just checked out the first episode, but I don't know. It's intriguing to maybe see where it goes, but I don't know. We'll see.
I'll check it out, man. I mean, it sounds... I mean, I've heard other shows talking about it and how much they liked it, so I'll give it a shot.
Right. Okay. The other one that's up on Netflix, Altered Carbon. I mentioned this a few times in a couple of teaser shows we did for Anchor. Altered Carbon, new sci-fi show on Netflix. I also just checked out the first episode of this, and man, I gotta say, this is some, like, heavy sci-fi, the kind of sci-fi that I just could not see them making on a normal network show, let alone maybe even it'd be too much for like a HBO, because they've got their like rules of this world and they kind of just go with it. Like, this is like a heavy sci-fi show. What I would relate it to is it's kind of got the idea of Ghost in the Shell, where like a person can continue living on basically in a new shell in this, you know, a new carbon core or whatever the terminology they're using for. But basically, as long as there's this one thing in the person's like neck, like it's like your save data, like you can continue on. So, and it's got, there's some like, kind of like detective stuff going on to it also. So, it stars Joel Kinnaman. He was, Flag in Suicide Squad. He was also in The Killing, a couple other things, but, it's a show I'd recommend checking out, but yeah, just like I said, it's heavy on the sci-fi, so be ready to like have to think about like what they're laying out here and the whole like rules of the world and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll check. How many episodes is it?
Think you're gonna check that one out? I think it's like eight. I think something like eight, 10. It's like a standard run show, and it's full hour. The episodes were hour long, so.
Yeah. I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah. I haven't been in a rush to get back to it, so we'll see if I end up keeping up with it or not. But, yeah, it is what it is. Lastly, and it's also kind of in the same category, you may have seen the commercials going about for this. J.K. Simmons is in a TV show that's on Starz. Have you heard about Counterpart?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen anything about it.
Right. I've seen the first two episodes of this. I told this story, if you've been listening, all the way back when we were talking about American Gods. I don't get stars, but on Dish, at least, I can get, like, the show's, like, counterpart, like, on demand for free. So that's how I've been able to watch the first two episodes. Kind of interesting how they do that. I'm not sure if it's they do it on DirecTV or other providers or whatnot. But, yeah, interestingly, on Dish, even without a Starz subscription, I can see on demand for free. Anyways, this show also kind of sci-fi, but it's a lot more subtle than Altered Carbon. It's an interesting idea that from the point the story takes place, 13 years ago, all of a sudden, another dimension was discovered, and it was like identical to that point. But when they discovered that other dimension, all of a sudden, the two dimensions, like, people started to become different. Like, J.K. Simmons, in one reality, he's, like, real mild-mannered office guy. And in the other reality, he's, like, a high-level agent, like, doing, you know, missions and undercover work and whatnot. And, like, another example, in, like, one reality, this girl, she's a violinist, and the other, she's a hitman. So there's, like, one place that, like, connects the two universes, and, like, certain people are aware of it, but not everybody is, and we're kind of, our main character is the office guy version of J.K. Simmons, the more mild manner version, so we're kind of, like, going on the ride with him, and I'm two episodes in, and like I said, this one's a lot more subtle, a little slower than, like, Altered Carbon, but, if you can check it out, I'd recommend seeing if it's something you'd be interested in.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I mean, it sounds something that I would get into. I'll eventually get to it.
Right. Find a way. Sail the pirate waters, right?
Of course.
yeah, that's all I had for TV. If you're ready to dig into movies, I think... it's all you, except for we share the Cloverfield paradox.
Yeah, we'll get to that because I got a lot on that one. I was just kind of on a rampage and just went to the movies like pretty much every night.
Nice.
I went and seen this is probably the newest one. I think it just came out this week. This is the 1517. To Paris.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Well, first of all, nothing to take away to what happened and what these three gentlemen did. There was a fourth guy, but they only hype it up as three. But nothing against them and what they did. What they did was heroic, and these guys are true heroes. But and I love Clint Eastwood. I've loved pretty much every movie he's done. But I don't know what he was trying to do with this. It started out good. It was just kind of the story of, well, they kind of, in the beginning, I mean, you guys all know the outcome to this, so it's not like it's a spoiler. But they show, like, the beginning when this terrorist guy get on the train. And then they kind of flash forward to when the shit goes down, but then they go back to showing the three guys are driving around in a car, and this was probably one of the funniest lines in the movie. Like right from the get go, it was the black guy. His name is I can't pronounce what they were calling him, but his name was Ray. He's like, yeah, you see this brother riding around with two crackers. And you want to know why? I was like, damn. But it was cool. They kind of just started off this story when they were kids, showing them how they met and the trouble that they got into because they were three little rebellious guys. And one of them, or two of them, the two white guys, I think it was Spencer and Alex, I think that was his name. They were always playing like soldiers war, dressing up in camo and go play paintball and run around with all that. So they were pretty much gung-ho about joining the military. So they show that when they're kids, and then when they get older, one of them, Stone, is the one they kind of, he was kind of like the main character that they focused on, Spencer Stone. These actors are in it were the guys that went through this this deal on the train. So it was really them, the three heroes. But it was like an hour of just this backstory on what they did. Every now and then they'd kind of throw in a little clip of what went on the train, but not much. And then I was just like, okay. Showed them in school when they were kids, showed them when they were in high school, showed them when they were out of school, showed a little bit when they were in the military. I mean, I know what they were trying to do. Clint was trying to show us just who these kids were. They're just everyday American kids, but it was just like, okay, come on. I mean, you could have did this in 20 minutes and then had an hour of what happened on the train. And then they spent a lot. They were these guys. They went on a backpacking trip in Europe and just going place to place and all that. Amsterdam partying, meeting chicks, and I was like, okay. And they kept talking about, yeah, we're gonna get on this train to go to Paris. And then like, okay, can you show us that now? And it was just like it just drug and drug and drug. And then we finally get to the train, and I looked at the time. This movie's only an hour and 34 minutes. And I'm like, oh, man. It's like the movie's almost over. And now you're getting to the train? And I was just like, okay. I mean, once they got to the train and all the shit went down, that was cool. I liked what happened. But it was just like the whole, pretty much the whole movie was just like, okay, okay. They could have did that for 30 minutes, like I said, and then gave us an hour of action on the train. I mean, there wasn't too much action. I don't know how long this whole thing took, but it's in the movie. The actual them taking down the terrorists was only like maybe 5 minutes, maybe. And then the rest of them, somebody got shot on the train, and Stone was he was trained to do. To some medical stuff when he was in, I think he was in the Air Force, I believe. And so he leaped into action. He was also, he got cut and he took some damage. There was only one shot fired. This terrorist had like an AK, and I think he had like 300 rounds in a backpack and clips and loose bullets. And I was like, whoa. So this guy was ready to get on and do some damage, just pretty much massacre the whole train. And probably kill himself before, but these guys leapt into action. It's like they didn't even hesitate. Stone, the military kid. Well, the other guy, I think Anthony was his name, or Alex. He was also in the military too, because they kind of like this was all during their they took some leave to just go hang out, with their buddies and do this trip. But Stone was the one that just leaped into action and rushed the terrorist. And if I think Stone would have died if the terrorists, if his gun didn't jam, it like jammed. So he just tackled him, and they fucking, all three of them piled on top of him. They were beating the shit out of him. And then just the train was still going, and Stone was trying to save this guy's life. They got shot, and all that was just boom, 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 over.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, okay. All right. I mean, I don't know. Huh. This movie could have been maybe a TV movie, an hour or a special or something. And then threw in some interviews with the guys in between the action. I mean, they didn't need to show us all this stuff in the beginning that was kind of, I wouldn't say it was pointless. I seen what Clint was trying to do, showing that these were just average kids that just growing up here in America. I mean, I understand what he was trying to do, but it just, I don't know, it just wasn't what I mean, it wasn't what I wanted to be. I mean, it is what it is. If you guys do want to see this, go see it. But I think you can wait because this is something that we all knew the outcome. We knew the end of what happened. And it was heroic what these guys did. I am not taking anything away from what these four gentlemen. There was a fourth guy who was kind of, I think he was a doctor or something. He was helping them, the dude after the guy got shot. He was helping Stone. And then at the end was actual footage from, I believe it was the press conference. I can't remember who, it was a guy speaking some language. I can't, we're French. And there was subtitles and everything. It was actual footage of them standing up there with that, with the French guy. I think it was the prime minister or something, telling them how heroic these guys were. And we all know that. I mean, these guys are true heroes. For what they did that day on the train. But it was just like, I was reading, not interviews, I was reading stuff on Fandango and everything, and it was just like, everyone was like, save your money, this movie's boring and all that. But they had to throw in the disclaimer that, yeah, these guys are heroes, but then as a movie, it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
It got 21% on Rotten Tomatoes, and there's a lot of negative stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everyone kind of throws in there, yes, they're heroes, but they were just saying that it was just boring and you're showing too much of nothing. Rotten Tomatoes are saying that. On Fandango, there was a lot of people saying it. It got a higher rating on IMDb, 5.2 out of 10. Unless that's half. So, but. Overall, I mean, I did like the movie. It was just not executed good enough. I mean, it was just kind of, you're like, okay. I mean, there was no really any point to showing what they were showing of nothing. I can understand when they show them when they're really kids and how they met and the military stuff. All that was good, but there was just the meeting some girl and it had nothing to do with the story, and then showing them partying with all these other chicks. That had nothing to do with the story. I mean, there was a lot they could have taken out of this, and it would have probably been a lot shorter. And I think this was something. It was the only PG-13. I mean, mainly for blood and the violence, and it was just when all that stuff went down on the train. But overall, I mean, I think you guys can wait. I mean, but if you guys want to see this in the theater, I mean, go for it. But a lot of people were criticizing the acting. There was real actors in this. But the guys that really did it, I mean, they're not actors. I mean, they just,
right.
You can't jump on them for how they were acting. They're not actors. So don't hate them. I thought they did a good job. Maybe, I think, Spencer Stone, I don't know if he's ever acted before, but that guy seemed like I think he can go on and be, a military guy, or he is military, but I mean, for like movies or something, or play a cop role, right, or something. Right. I think that guy can do it. I thought out of the three main guys, I thought he did a really good job because they, like I said, they focused on him a lot, through the whole story when he was a kid and when he was older. I think if he does to pursue acting, I don't know. I'm sure he's still in the military or still active. I mean, he did a really good job. And the other two guys as well. Everybody that was bashing on their acting, they're not actors. Calm down.
Right.
But everyone, I mean, pretty much everyone else in there was actors. There was a lot of faces you recognized in it. But overall, again, these guys were amazing heroes and on what they did and how they just didn't even hesitate and sprung right into action and just stopped, which would have been a massacre on a train. So, I mean, big ups to you guys if you guys are listening. And but, yeah, I mean, I love Clint. He's, like, my favorite actor, and I love everything he's directed and everything he's been in. But, yeah, if you guys want to see it, go for it. Yeah, but I think you can wait. I mean, like I said, we do know the end to this story. So, yeah,
right.
The 15-17 to Paris. Check it out if you want. It's up to you guys.
Yeah, I was really wondering about that, but glad to hear your review on it because I had no idea what to think about that one. before you jump into your next one, I wanted to ask you real quick. Have you seen the most recent like commercials they've been playing for Bruce Willis's version of Death Wish?
I don't like it. The more and more I'm seeing, I'm not liking it at all, but I'm going to see it.
Well, it's funny because actually the more and more I see, the more and more I like it. I just, like you, they could have just not used the Death Wish name. They could have called it, you know, you know, Man on a Mission, or I don't know, whatever. Like, if they wouldn't have used, if it would have just been like lightly Death Wish inspired, but I don't know. I want to see what you thought, but for you, less, right?
I mean, it's not. Well, if you guys have seen Charles Bronson's Death Wish, came out in 78, or I don't know when it came out, but it doesn't have. It's got the premise of it. Yes, it does. So this guy loses his wife, and his daughter gets hurt when there's a robbery. But it seems like Bruce Willis just loads up with every gun he can and goes crazy. I mean, I'm just like,
I'm all for it.
That's not what Charles Bronson did. He was just an architect in New York living his life. And then this tragic event happened to his family, and the police weren't doing anything. So he went and took the law into his own hand, but he wasn't, he had a little, it looked like a little 22 pea shooter gun. And yeah, it seems like this one's Bruce Willis is going to load up every military style he can get. And I'm like, this is just Charles Bronson's rolling over in his grave. Rest in peace, Chuck, man. I love you. I love Bruce Willis. Don't get me wrong. He's given us a ton of good movies. But this movie, everything I'm seeing is just like, I go on the Facebook page and read the comments and how everyone's like, oh, this is going to be awesome, and da-da-da-da, I can't wait. But there's guys like me on there going, this is looks like bullshit. Yeah. And, but I'm going to see it. I mean, Eli Roth, man, I love you, bro, but come on, man. Right. Where's all your original ideas you were doing? Do you fucking, he redid Death Game, which was Knock Knock. But I love Death Game, and I love Knock Knock. That was a good movie as well. So I'm hoping that,
maybe he'll surprise.
Yeah, maybe he'll surprise me, and this will be good. But I'm just like, oh, come on. You're just kind of turning it into a big action movie. That's not what Death Wish was. It was not an action movie. It was a drama.
Exactly.
A crime drama. And later on, maybe let's say Death Wish 3, when he was going out there with all kinds of craziness and huge cannons and everything. Yeah, then that's more of what I'm seeing in this. But like I said, I'm still going to see it. But I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just like, oh, man. The last trailer I saw when I went to the theater was like just, I kind of grunted loud, too. And there was an older gentleman sitting behind me with, that's what I'm saying. I turned around and just smiled because it came on and, his wife that was with him, she was like, shh.
Yeah.
To him. And he was like, oh, this is not Charles Bronson. And I said, yes. Thank you. I was like, oh, man. But I'm a huge Charles Bronson fan. Thanks to my dad for getting me into him and all that. But yeah, I'll see it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, what you got next?
The next one I got, man, this one was awesome. It's another true story. This is 12 Strong. I was hearing all kinds of negative reviews on this, man. I loved it, man. I thought it was awesome. It's got potential to be in my top 10 out of the movies I've seen this year so far. And it was good, man. Thor was awesome. Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth, he's badass in just about everything. Michael Peña was awesome in this. Michael Shannon's amazing in everything he does, and it was good. It was a good movie. Excuse me. 12 Strong tells the story of the first Special Forces team deployed to Afghanistan after 9/11 under the leadership of a new captain, which was Thor. He played Captain Mitch Nelson. The team must work with an Afghan warlord to take down the Taliban. This was a cool movie. I mean, it was pretty intense with the war scenes and everything. And big ups to what these guys, the real heroes that had to go in there and do this. I mean, did they to go up against the odds to be the first team to go in there and pretty much start off the war. These 12 guys, they weren't all together. They kind of had to get broken up because where they were going, where the Taliban was, they had to ride horses there, and they only had like 6 extra horses. So Thor broke up his team and said, "Well, you guys go here, and we're gonna go with them." And they were kind of like, "Why are you breaking up the team?" And he goes, "Well, are you gonna walk while we're all on horses?" And they were kind of like, and they had to go pretty far through the rugged terrain of Afghanistan. And you guys all know the outcome to this, so it's not a spoiler. But man, that fucking last battle scene was intense, man. I can't remember, one of the soldiers said it too. He was like, "Man, this is tough because once the firefight started," and he goes, "I can't tell who's with us and who are the bad guys because they all look the same." I mean, and that was true. I was thinking that too, because once they were charging each other and everybody was just bullets flying everywhere. And he was like, he couldn't tell. I mean, I don't know if you needed to have them have a yellow rag or something hanging out of their back pocket so you can tell who was who. But I was like, man, I'm sure they were just firing in every direction because there was bullets and missiles and everything flying all over the place. But this movie was awesome. I thought it was badass. I don't know what all these people are talking about, that it was boring and it wasn't a good movie. This movie was hella good. I loved it. I will definitely buy this when it comes out. And, yeah, right now it is in my top 10, but who knows? Maybe something will come and knock it out.
Right.
But this was a really good movie. Everyone go out and see this. I should have saw it in IMAX. I'm kicking myself for not seeing it in IMAX, because I would have loved the sound in the big format. But 12 Strong, this movie's badass. Everyone go check it out.
Nice. Definitely will.
The next one I saw, this is this is what IMDb calls it, biography fantasy horror. They were kind of pushing this really to be a horror movie. There was a ton of jump scares in this, a ton. And the first few got me. I went and saw it with my daughter. She just kept laughing every time I was jumping. I think the main reason I saw this is Bay Area love. This all took place down in San Jose, California, back in the day, in 1906, I believe, because they had the big earthquake in it. When the earthquake hit, it also hit San Jose and the Winchester mansion, and some of the mansion got damaged from the earthquake. A lot of people didn't really care for this movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I'm a Bay Area boy, so I got to represent for the Bay Area. And it was really, I've been to the Winchester place, the mansion. I haven't been inside, but I've been there. I've been in the courtyard, because we took the kids down there, and Eric was little and he was too scared to go in. So we kind of stayed outside, but it's a nice little area. I mean, the thing that's weird though, in the movie, it was like it was way back in the day. So it's like this mansion's out in the middle of nowhere. Now it's in the same place where it was built, and there's gas stations and buildings, and it's like they just threw this huge mansion right in the center. It's crazy. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
You should check it out. Eric, he wants to see this movie, and we'll probably take him down to the Winchester and walk through the tour and everything. Renee and the kids, and I had asked her, I said, she says it's big, but they don't take you everywhere because some places are blocked off.
Right.
This is just basically a story of she's in her sprawling California mansion. An eccentric firearms heiress, Sarah Winchester, believes she is haunted by the souls of people killed by the Winchester repeating rifles. I mean, this is why she was building all. Well, there's no, you can't spoil this. If you know the history of the Winchester, you know. Like I just said, she was getting not haunted. I guess she was getting haunted by the spirits of people that were killed by the Winchester rifles. And they were telling her the only way that she can help them lift their further spirit to go on was to keep building. And what she was doing, they were building things onto this mansion 24/7. There was always some kind of carpentry going. You hear hammers banging, and they were building stuff. And when in this movie, they probably embellished on the story to throw the jump scares and the horror angle into this. I understand that, and but the story was good. I mean, I'm sure if you've been to the Winchester and you know the history of it, you can see it all in this. Because Tiga was saying that they did cover a lot of the stuff that she heard on the tour. And she, cause she was asking, did they film this there? I said, I don't think so. I think they just rebuilt it, somewhere. But I mean, it was cool. I liked what was going on in it. Some of it was, it drug a little bit in some spots. Helen Mirren, she was, awesome in this. That was probably like the main reason I seen it. She was Sarah Winchester, and Helen Mirren is beautiful. I've always loved her and just about everything she has done. And I thought she did a really good job in this. But it wasn't for everyone. There were some people saying this movie was stupid and they hated it. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it. But like I just said, there's some of it they could have cut out that I was like, kind of like, okay, this is, you're starting to lose me. But overall, it was cool. It's nothing you should rush out to see. But if you've been to the Winchester Mystery House and you would like to see this movie, I think if you know the history and you've been to the house, you'd probably enjoy this just a little bit more than the average person that's never been there. But overall, it's definitely not in not near my top 10, but I did enjoy it. So if I'm selling it good, go check it out. That's Winchester. The next one. This one was kind of rough, and it was like just super depressing. This was Hostiles. In 1892, legendary army captain reluctantly agrees to escort a Cheyenne chief and his family through dangerous territory. Oh man, there was no love for anybody in this. You being a soldier, white guys, black guys, and the natives. Oh my god. Christian Bale, this is Alden. I think it was towards the end of the Civil War, the Civil War was already over, but he was just a captain that had to lead his soldiers into battling the natives and just basically massacring all of them. He was at the Battle of Wounded Knee when Custer got his and everything. And the Cheyenne warrior that they had to escort him, they had him in this prison, but he was dying from cancer. That was he was played by the awesome native actor Wes Studi. Wes Studi's awesome. He's been in everything. For you mystery men, he was I can't remember what his name was in Mystery Men, but he was Chief Yellow Hawk. And he was with his family. They wanted him to take him back to his homeland and just drop him off, but because he wanted to be there. He wanted to die at his home. And he was just like in just rough. But so there was no way around it. I mean, Christian Bale's character, he was Captain Joseph L. Blocker. Man, Christian Bale, man, he was hardcore in this, man. He was just like, he hated the natives, and he just wanted to kill them all. Because that's what he did, man. He was following orders. I mean, he had to massacre all these people when they were taking over America. For all you fucks that don't think so. But, yeah, they just massacred. Because they were saying this. Because you've killed a lot of people. You've killed women. You've killed kids. And he was just stone cold killer. And he was just like, I did what I had to do. I was following orders, which is true. I mean, I understand that. I mean, he was a soldier, and they're telling you to go through this village and kill everyone there. you got to do it. I mean, you got to follow orders. I understand that. But some of these people out there saying that none of this happened and we didn't massacre. We were helping you natives. Bullshit.
Yeah. But,
but there was no love for anybody in this movie. Everybody was going down. Everybody, it was just rough times down there. But man, this movie was fucking awesome. All the performances, everybody in this movie was amazing. And this is definitely in my top 10 right now. Right now, it's number one. But we're only 2 months into the year. So right now, this is number one, my number one movie. And this is Hostel. This movie was fucking awesome. I loved it. I will definitely buy it. It did have me in tears at times. Cause it was just so depressing, but I mean, this movie is awesome. Some people didn't really care for it. Cause there was a lot of people, this movie was boring. Nothing was happening. It wasn't meant to be an action movie. It was just a story. It was I don't know why they titled, I'm on IMDb, adventure, drama, Western. It was more just a drama. I don't know about adventure, but it was a good movie. It was a really good movie. I mean, if Christian Bale gets a nomination for this. I know it's earlier in the year, and the Academy rarely looks at movies that come out right in the get-go. But this movie's awesome. It's another Christian Bale's an amazing actor, and I was glad that he did this role because he was really good. I think him and Wes Studi were my two favorites in it. There was this one little native kid in it. He was a real young guy. I think he was like maybe 9 or 10. He was a really good actor. I can't remember his name in this, but this is an amazing movie. It is still in the theaters, so if you guys want to go out there and check it out. It was a movie that came out last year. It was all those when they do those limited runs here and there, but it actually went nationwide this year. So I'm going to consider it this year's 2018 movie, even though it came out the end of last year. But this is a really good movie. Director Scott Cooper. I could not tell you anything else. He did Crazy Heart. That was a good movie. Out of the Furnace. That was a good movie. It was, I think, the first time that he worked with Christian Bale. And Black Mass. That was all right. I guess he did some acting. He was in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. So, I don't remember that. I've seen all his movies. He's only directed 5, and he's got a new one coming out that just announced called Antlers. I have no idea what that's about. But out of the movies that he's done, I've enjoyed his work, Scott Cooper. And if you're listening, thank you so much for making this movie, because this movie was amazing. Moving on, the next movie. I heard all kinds of bad stuff about this too, saying that it was boring and nothing happened. Man, this movie was fucking awesome. Also in my top 10, this is Den of Thieves. Oh, this movie was fucking hella good. A gritty crime saga which follows the lives of an elite unit of the LA County Sheriff's Department and the state's most successful bank robbery crew as the outlaws plan to a seemingly impossible heist of the Federal Reserve in L.A. Now, this is just cops and robbers, cops and banks robbers. And, man, this was an amazing film. Gerard Butler's badass in this, but my favorite character is Pornstache from Orange is the New Black. What the hell is this guy's name? Pablo Schreiber, I think that's how you say his name. He's badass. I first seen him in Orange is the New Black. He's badass in that. He was hella tough in 2016, 13 Hours. He was badass in that. And I've seen him in other things. And he was fucking tough as shit in this one, too. It was just basically these ex-military guys that were bank robbers. And Gerard Butler was leading his sheriff's force to try to catch him. It is slow. It's a slow burn, but it was really good. It kept my attention. This was directed by Christian Grudgask. I guess that's his name. He directed A Man Apart, London Has Fallen, I haven't seen that one. I've seen the first one. He's written a lot of stuff. And this is his first movie he's directed. So, but he's done good work, man. I like some of the movies that he was a part of that he wrote. But this movie was good, man. It kind of reminded me of Heat, how the cops were trying to, like Al Pacino was just trying to get to know Robert De Niro. That's what Gerard Butler was doing. He was just trying to get to know these guys before they sprung into action. O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son, this kid, man, I can see him going on to do a lot of big things, man. He was really good in this as well. 50 Cent was in it. He was badass. And pretty much the whole crew of Gerard Butler, his sheriff's guys and Porn Stash's crew, they were all tough, man. But this movie was badass. And that fucking final shootout that they had, I love Heat a little bit more with that shootout. But this, I think the shootout they did in this one was awesome. I mean, and I love how these filmmakers really get the actors to take some arms training, trained by professional guys, shooter guys. I don't know what you call them, the deal with guns and weapons. Because I've seen a lot of movies, and like if you watch the movies when I was a kid, when there's just like the army movies, the old school John Wayne ones or Clint Eastwood ones or whatever, how they're just firing guns in any way they can hold it. These guys are actually like trained by professionals. This is the way you hold the gun. This is the way you shoot it. This is what you're going to do, because there's a lot of people out there that are going to criticize you. You don't hold that gun like that and shoot it like that. No, I'd be one of those guys, too, if I knew. I could shoot guns. I'd know jack shit about them. But it was awesome to see, especially during that shootout, man. It was fucking amazing. And a lot of these movies, even if you watch like John Wick, all the training that he had to go to for all the guns that he was shooting. But with today's movies and everything, and everyone's a critic, especially when it comes to guns, you just got to know how to hold them and know how to shoot and everything. So I loved all the training that they had to make this movie. And this is an awesome movie. It's still in the theater. I want to try to get out and see it again before they take it away. And that's Den of Thieves. This movie was fucking awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Definitely. I have another movie, but I'm going to save it for the next episode because I want to watch it again. But this next one, this is a movie that they sprung on us fucking out of nowhere. If you were watching the Super Bowl, they showed the Netflix original movie, The Cloverfield Paradox. They just like sprung it out of nowhere and said, premiering on Netflix after the game. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh my God. If you know me on a personal level, you know how much I love the Cloverfield, the first Cloverfield movies. And I could not wait. As soon as the game was over, I didn't even stick around for the presentation of the trophy and all that, the celebrating on the field. I went straight to Netflix and started this movie. Because I was like, oh, my God. I loved this movie. I thought it was awesome. There was a lot of people out there that didn't like it. I had to go. I kind of figured out what was going on. I mean, it's pretty much there right in your face right from the get-go when they're explaining what happens in this. But I went to YouTube to see other lists. I love listening to other people's theories. A lot of them I had watched were bullshit, but there was one guy, man. He was right on the same page as me. And I agree with what he was saying. I'm not going to ruin it because if you guys are Cloverfield fans, but this movie does answer what happened in the first and the second movie.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, I thought, who directed this? Julius Ona? I think that's how you say his name. Fucking. I thought this movie was awesome, man. I loved it. It definitely in my top 10. And I don't think anything's going to push it out because I loved this movie. It got a 5.8 on IMDb, and I was reading all the hatred. Oh, this movie was bullshit. The first movie was bullshit. The second one was bullshit. All you guys that say that, fuck you, man. Those first two movies were fucking awesome. Cloverfield, the first one being my favorite one. But John Goodman in the second one, he was amazing in that movie, and I loved it. I remember after I saw it, I ran. As soon as I got home from the theater, I just went straight on and did a little episode on it. I loved 10 Cloverfield Lane. And this one, too, man, I definitely want to watch it again. There was some stuff that I would, when I was listening to other pods and guys that were breaking it down on YouTube, there was a couple things that I missed. I was like, what? I need to go back and catch it. But I did catch everything that explained what is going on in this Cloverfield universe. And it is crazy. Obtaining a planet on the brink of war. Orbiting a planet on the brink of war, scientists test a device to solve an energy crisis and end up face to face with a dark alternate reality. And oh my God, what'd you think of this movie?
Yeah, I really loved it. I'm right there with you, pretty much everything you said. One of the things that right away that I was blown away with too is the cast. The Gugu, she was in Beauty and the Beast, Concussion. David Oyelowo, he's Kallus in Rebels. Excited for him. Daniel Brühl, he's in Civil War. John Ortiz, Chris O'Dowd, even the Zhang. She goes all the way back to Crouching Tiger. So yeah. It was like really to see her. I was like, damn, she didn't look much different too. Like
she does not age. She does not age. and at first, when she popped up on the screen, I love her. First of all, I fell in love with her during Crouching Tiger and seeing everything else she's done. But I was like, because if you see interviews, maybe it's probably better now, but her English isn't that good, and it's kind of hard to understand. She spoke a little English in this, and it was hard, but they still threw the subtitles there. But she's fluent in her language, so I was glad that they did that. That's how she was communicating, when she was just speaking her native language and everybody knew it. So they understood her. So I thought that was awesome. But yeah, man, with this cast, I mean, mm-hmm. I was shocked when it kept people popping up on the screen. I was like, whoa. Oh man, amazing.
I was right there with you too. Interestingly, early in the game, they actually kind of teased it, and I was like, oh, cool, exciting. Like, I assume, just like 10 Cloverfield Lane, it's going to be in theaters. And then late in the game, they advertised it again. And they were like, streaming now on Netflix. And I was like, whoa! I was like, yes! I was like, perfect! I was like, this is incredible. I love the whole, like, surprise nature, too, of Cloverfield. Because even going back to the original, not a lot of people knew what was going on with that. That was one of the first pieces, I think the first Comic-Con that I ever went to with you and Joel. We got the T-shirts for the Slusho. And I don't know if you noticed, but that's been a recurring theme for the three movies, is Slusho. So.
Yeah, and the first one, I mean, that was the main guy's, that's a job he was going to do in Japan. And his brother was wearing a T-shirt. And the second one, they showed it. It was a neon sign in a that little store that the main actors went by. You've seen a Slusho sign in the corner. And in this one, they show a little Slusho bobblehead on one of the dashboards of the ship. So I thought that was cool, man. I was just like, awesome. But the secretness of this, or the last two films.
Love it.
We had no idea they were making these. We knew there was a new Cloverfield movie coming. They were throwing that God Particle title around. So I assume that was just a ruse to throw us all off, and because nobody knew nothing about it, what it was about. We all knew it was to deal with Cloverfield. I don't know if they're still doing that or that just something to throw us off their trail. But fuck, man, this movie, man, they kept the last one, 10 Cloverfield, as well as this one, just under wraps in secret, and nobody knew. This one was probably more secret because they just sprung it on us the day it was coming out. And after the game, this is coming on. You can watch it on Netflix. I was like, wow. Yeah. That was marketing. It got me hooked as a fan of this series of movies. I cannot wait for the next one. I think there's two more movies after this. But
yeah. East. I know I heard the rumor about one. You probably don't want to look too deep into it, but I heard there's one with supposedly zombie Nazis.
I don't know if there are going to be zombies in it, but yeah, they're going into World War II. I think that's the next one.
Yeah, I think it's. I think that's what I heard, but this is the series. Like, yeah, it's best not to look too deep. But like you said, I do remember hearing something about God particle and whatnot, and then boom, all of a sudden it's here. But I just love that whole thing about it. Like, we heard the rumor, and then all of a sudden, boom, here it is. Like, watch if you want.
I don't read into anything because this is all just speculation and fan theories.
Yeah.
And no, man, you don't know until these movies come out. So it's like pointless to read into them and try to figure out what's next because we're always wrong. Just sit back and wait until it comes out, until you're actually sitting in the theater or, in this case, sitting at home nice and comfortably in my easy chair fucking watching a series, this third installment to a series that which I love. And this is definitely in my top 10 because I was just so I was blown away. Man, they fucking pretty much gave away this movie right in the get-go of what you knew what was happening, and it explained, explained what happened in the first movie and as well as the second movie. So this is the Cloverfield universe, and you have to take it to what it is. You can piece it together however you want to make it work for you. But as far as I'm concerned with these three movies, I mean this movie definitely had answered my questions for the first two movies. And I don't want to give it away and what it is, but they do say it right in the beginning of the movie. So if you are a fan of these movies and you have not watched it yet, do check it out, man, because I thought this movie was fucking amazing.
Yeah, I do. There's no other way I can say it than if you plan to watch the movie, if you don't want to be spoiled, please just skip ahead in the pod for 1 minute, because I just have to get your reaction as to the end of the film. What do you think of the end of the film? Spoiler warning, just go ahead a minute if you don't know what it is or you don't want to hear what Nez has to say.
which part? I mean, what are you talking about?
The monster. I thought that was so cool.
I was waiting to see it because they were teasing you in the little trailers that they showed. You heard the monster, and it didn't. It kind of looked like the. I thought it was a little shitty looking. It kind of looked like the monster that was in the first one.
Huge.
But then it made it seem like there was more of them.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa. And then it just ended. I knew it was the end of the movie. I was like, fuck, because I wanted to see it in action.
Yeah.
They teased us earlier in it when the one black guy. What the hell was it?
Yeah, yeah. Don't come.
Yeah, he was. He looks up and you can kind of see in the shadows and the smoke. And I thought they were going to show it, and then they didn't. But I mean, it was cool, man. I mean, I loved what they did at the end, and it just got me more hyped and pissed because it ended. But it was more hyped for the next one. But like I said, it does explain. It explains what happened in the first two movies, and I was like, wow, okay. Because after the first two movies, before this one came out, I'm trying to piece together, well, when is this happening and when did that happen? And right now with this one, it explains it. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, fuck yeah. I mean, I love what they're doing. And JJ, man, you're a fucking genius. And I can't wait what you're going to bring to us for episode 9.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Is that it for movies?
Yeah, that's pretty much all that I've seen. I've seen more movies, but I'm gonna save it for the next episode.
Okay.
There's a movie that I saw the other day, but I need to watch the first two because I want to talk about those as well.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
we'll do that on the next episode.
I'm glad you forgot, because I forgot I did see that too. So I know we're talking in code, but yeah, just come back.
Yeah, well, next episode, you'll know.
Yeah, next episode, you'll know. Yeah, let's move right on into the week in sports. It makes sense just to talk about the Super Bowl, just quickly talk about my experience with it. If you listen to the little anchor pod, mini pod we did, my predictions were for not a good Super Bowl. I had predicted on that pod a 19-6 final score, and I was so happy I was wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. It was one of the more entertaining Super Bowls in recent memory. It was really good, high scoring, back and forth, close, and came right down to it. For a minute there, it looked like, oh, man, the Patriots are going to do what the Patriots do. They're going to win it at the last minute. They had a chance, but luckily Philly held on. So good for them, their first Super Bowl in history, and they had a lot of fun at their parade. I don't know if you saw that, Nez, the one guy that, like, dressed up in, like, a genie outfit. Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, one of the linemen for the parade, like, dressed up in a genie outfit, and he, like, went off, like, he, like, named everybody on the team and why people doubted them. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback! This guy, they said he was too slow! This guy, this and that! And I was like, yeah, I guess I'd probably be doing something like that, too. But, yeah, I'm glad they won.
Yeah, I did, too. And, for all you, to get a little political right here for a second,
okay.
All you idiots that tore up your city, good for you guys.
Yeah, barely any arrests, though. I heard there was only, like, 2 arrests.
For all the damage they did. The video I saw when all those people were standing on that awning and it collapsed. Oh,
yeah.
Fuck, man. I watched that over and over, man. That was hilarious. And, hey, man, I understand. When we won the Super Bowl too, man, we were hooting and hollering. And when we won the World Series, we were out there. But we didn't tear apart our city. But everyone's celebrating and everything. But there was a lot of people like, oh, they were just happy and all this and destroying it and everything. I kind of got into it with this guy on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I said, how come the cops weren't out there shooting rubber bullets and everything and at them and spraying them with water cannons and throwing explosives at them for doing that? Because, oh, they were out there celebrating and all this. And I said, yeah, but fucking look, they were destroying things, looting and all that. And I said, how come the cops weren't out there trying to stop them? And he goes, oh, they don't do that. They know it. I said, you got people that were fucking trying to protect water for millions of people. And fucking had bullets shot at them. The dogs released on them. Water cannons. They had fucking explosives thrown at them. And I said, these guys were all peaceful. They weren't fucking destroying anything. And that and the cops were fucking, the military were fucking tanks and everything were after them, and these guys are destroying the city, and only what, 2-3 arrests maybe?
Yeah.
It's like where's the right in that? And then he shut up. Exactly. So
there was a video of a cop, I don't even know if you know who the rapper is, but Meek Mill. They got a video of a cop saying free Meek Mill. So yeah.
But yeah, man, hey man, destroy everything. Listen to Hatebreed song, destroy everything. So that's the theme. That's the theme. I just laugh, man. If you can go out there and hoot and holler, hey, I was out there too when my teams won. And if the fucking Sharks would have won the Stanley Cup that year or so ago, I would have been out there too. I wouldn't have been destroying anything, but I would have been out there hooting and hollering. But hey, yeah, congratulations to the Super Bowl champions. I don't even know what Super Bowl is it. Philadelphia Eagles.
You guys
deserved it. Good.
Yeah, now, definitely. Fine.
Now go
good for them.
Repair your city.
Right.
and fix that awning. Because if you guys have not seen that video of all those people on the awning, what did they think was going to happen?
Well, it's crazy because there's video of guys up there before everybody, and they're like doing flips and like they're dropping off the front of it. And then the next thing you know, everybody's up there, and then it collapses. And I don't know if you heard it, but on the only place you, because like you see the video went everywhere of it collapsing, But on Desus and Mero, they had the unedited video, and the person that caught it, she's like, ooh, like I caught that, like I got that video. She was so excited, she had it.
Hey, and big ups to that guy that was eating the shit, the horse shit.
No way.
I don't care, man. I could have personally won the Super Bowl or the World Series, and I would not eat fucking horse shit. Yeah. That was the first video I saw, man. I was dying. That was so funny. But hey, man, if you're that guy that ate the shit and you're listening, man, hey, rock on, Drew. Horns up to you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Oakland has, you know, done pretty good considering the reputation they have for the last two Warriors championships here, 15 and 17. There hasn't been really much.
We were out there burning shit up when we won the World Series.
Right.
I don't remember seeing any cars being flipped over and
no.
Buildings looted and all that and
no.
Tearing down the poles. And what's up with the greasy poles? Do they do that just because they know they're...
They tried to make it so they wouldn't climb up. So they were, like, greasing it so they wouldn't do it. But, I don't know. People find a way.
Yeah. And then that guy did it, grease and all.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, I guess so that's the end of the NFL season. On to the next one. Getting ready for the draft here coming up in a couple months. Looking forward to the Broncos having the number 5 pick. So pretty decent early pick. We'll see what they can do. They definitely need to think about a quarterback. So we'll see. But yeah, other than that, a wrap for football season. Still in the midst of basketball season. And since we last talked, the Warriors, they're still a top record in the league, but they did go through a little bit of a rough patch, losing like 3 of 4 games. They had their first 2-game losing streak of the season, but last game they it was a really fun one. It was Spurs game Saturday night, and it was good to see them actually show for that. It was fun. Pretty much everybody did their thing. Clay had a great game, and 2 more games before the All-Star break. I already talked about the All-Star teams a couple of pods ago, but really looking forward to that at the end of this week, next weekend. So next pod, we're talking about All-Star NBA, but yeah, other than that, going on in sports for me. I don't know if you've been keeping up with Sharks.
Hold on. Before we leave basketball.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Who is this dude going around saying LeBron James is ruining the NBA?
I don't know. This is news to me. Like, I keep up with NBA news like crazy. I have it on all the time, but this is news to me. I haven't heard that.
I was watching a video and this guy was, I don't know who he was, but he was breaking it down on why LeBron James is ruining the NBA. I'll have to find that video again and I'll send it to you and we'll talk about it on the next one.
Sure. Yeah. The only thing I could guess is that he thinks, like, it's just that idea that LeBron put into the universe by leaving Cleveland the first time. He went to Miami and basically created the super team, which then in turn the Warriors go ahead. The Warriors already won a championship, and then they added Durant, and everybody's like, oh, that's crazy. Now you got Houston getting Chris Paul. They got James Harden. They're trying to load up with all their shooters. So I think, like, it's just that idea that LeBron made it okay for the super team, basically. So, and now he might leave again this offseason. That was a thing that happened real quick. I'll mention the trade deadline. The Cavs basically have a brand new team. They shipped out like 6 guys, got like 4 new guys in there. So, they looked really good against Boston. So, I don't know. We'll see. Do we get Golden State Cleveland Part 4 in the finals again. Everybody was saying, like, maybe Golden State will be there, but they weren't so sure about Cleveland, but now they've reloaded. So just might be again.
Yeah, whatever. It'll make no difference.
Yeah. Before you get into Sharks, if you have Sharks, I wanted to ask you, have you seen that the expansion team in Vegas, like, not only are they doing good, which is crazy for an expansion team, but, like, they, like, sell out every night, and it's, like, a crazy crowd. I just saw a feature on SportsCenter yesterday, and I was, like, really impressed. I was, like, first off, I didn't expect them to be doing good. They're doing good, and on top of that, like, yeah, their crowd is really impressive.
I've heard of them, and... But yeah, they are doing hella good. So I mean,
yeah,
I think Vegas hasn't had hockey. So
right.
If you're a hockey fan and you live there and you're from Vegas, I mean, you're proud of your team. If I was living down there, shit, I'd be all over it too. I mean, right. It was like when the Sharks came around. There was the San Jose Sharks weren't always there, and then now we got a hockey team in the Bay Area. I was like, fuck yeah. So. I mean, that was the reason I jumped on board with the Sharks, because that was our Bay Area team. We have there's none in San Francisco or Oakland or anywhere else. So you got to support the area. If you love hockey, you got to support your team. And
yeah.
Where are we right now? What's today's date? The 12th, right?
Yeah.
The matchups this month. We won 1, 2, 3. We won last night against the Ducks. We've won the last 1, 2, 3, 4. Next matchup is tomorrow at the Shark Tank. We take on the Coyotes. Fuck, man. I wanted to go to Phoenix so bad when we were down there, because tickets are so cheap.
Right.
For the Coyotes game. I was like, fuck, man. I could have been way down in a good seat for fucking like $50. I mean, $50 wouldn't even get you in the door unless you're standing way at the top of the Shark Tank. So next season, definitely. That's our next matchup, and we're doing pretty good. As far as standings, I'm not too sure. We still have another month and a week. Well, if you add everything together, we still got another good 2 months of hockey. If you add up the rest of February, all of March, and the first week of April. We still got a lot going. And like I said, the next matchup is tomorrow night at the Shark Tank. We take on the Coyotes. And we take a break. And then still at the Shark Tank again, we take on Vancouver. And I think this weekend, we take on the Dallas Stars. The next three matchups are all in San Jose. And then we hit the road. And after that, we go come back to the Shark Tank again. We take the Oilers on the 27th. I want to try to get up to one of these ones. I don't know which one. I got still some stuff going on this week.
Right.
Or this month. And next month, I will be up in Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll pick out one of these ones to go to.
Right. Yeah, speaking of, do you have any more sports?
Nah, that's it.
Yeah, really looking forward to getting into collecting talk here, especially with the news of you going up to Seattle. Really hoping that you win this Funko lottery, because it'd be really helpful. You get just the time, you show up, a lot less hassle than like waiting all day in line. So I'm really hoping you get through, because there's a couple of things, and like I was like, dang, I can't believe how limited they are. They're only going to be available at the Emerald City Comic Con. Number one and most important on my list. And if for some reason you're not able to get it, eventually, someday I'll have to go to eBay for it. But, you know, it's the name I go by, Zisu. They have a two-pack from the Life Aquatic, Zisu and Ned. And it's limited to 2,500 pieces, only available there. So, yeah, that really hoping for. And then they also have, It's less important, but it would still be cool. They have a two pack from He-Man, Masters of the Universe, of Beastman and Sorceress. And the Sorceress is like, if you've seen the picture, it's so cool. She's like got a big smile on her face and she has her wings out. And lastly, they have a Bigfoot, and he's limited to 3,000 pieces. And it's got that classic like walk from, you know, the classic Bigfoot video from forever ago. And just something about that one that's so cool. They're also going to have Funko Headquarters exclusives, all of their own. And there, it's less exciting, but if it came down to it, I wouldn't be mad to have it. They're going to have an alternate version of Bigfoot where he's green and blue. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm hopeful.
So if I get in this lottery, is it just like I'm guaranteed a...
You're guaranteed a time. They'll give you a time to show up, and then you can show up to their booth and show them your little proof, and then, yeah, you can buy, basically.
Ah, okay.
So, really hopeful that you qualify, because you're all signed up, and that'd be awesome, because otherwise, like I said, probably going to have to go to eBay, and that Zisu set's probably going to be like 100 or something. Lame. So, we'll see. I'm hopeful. I don't know if you've seen the picture. Have you seen the pictures of the Zisu and the sets I'm talking about?
Yeah, just the ones that you sent me. Yeah, I saw them.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Do you see the pose for Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. As far as like what's going to be like shared and in stores for that, pretty much the main one I'm looking forward to is GameStop is going to be shared with the Padme. But. If you do get in that line, it's kind of a weird thing because it's just a sticker. If you weren't able to get the sticker from the con, it's actually more valuable than the one that says like shared exclusive. So, and it's just more special, like you were actually there for the con and got it. So, but yeah. Anyways.
As far as collecting for me, I picked up 4, since we've last recorded. I went to Barnes and Noble's cause they were having a sale. Just clearance sale. They were just trying to get rid of, their old stock. And I'm glad I got out to make this one because this young lady does not wrestle anymore. And, she's busy doing her modeling and everything else she's done. But this is Eva Marie. For you WWE fans, and I know a lot of people hated her because she just couldn't wrestle. I mean, WWE, I mean, they get you for, I mean, looks right now, not yeah. So much as skill, but a lot of them now that they have in there, man, they really got the skill. But Eva Marie, I think they got her just for her look, and because as far as skill, no. But disclaimer. When I went to WrestleMania, not last year's, the year before that was in Dallas, she did a million times better than I thought because she did not. Usually when you see her on Raw or whatever, she just was slow and her moves weren't all as good. But, man, she went all out at WrestleMania and she did fucking really good. I was shocked. And then, I don't know, I think she got hurt and then it just went downhill from there. So she hasn't... done anything else ring wise so but I'm glad I picked this up. I did like Eva Marie. Yeah, she's hot and she just made me laugh when she would get in the ring, so I'm glad I picked this one up. The box is a little beat up, but the pop looks like it's actually in good condition. And this next one I got, I remember you when you send pictures of everything that's coming out. We had the James Bond 007 ones. I've seen the one, the Goldfinger, James Bond, Sean Connery. And that was my first question is, where's Roger Moore? And there is a Roger Moore one. The real James Bond, before any of you guys say anything, This is the number one James Bond ever, Roger Moore. And this is from The Spy Who Loved Me. I got his pop. I mean, as if you know me on a personal level, how much I love Roger Moore as James Bond. He's my James Bond. Roger Moore was James Bond when I was introduced to the character. And I did go back and watch all the Sean Connery ones. And Daniel Craig's awesome as well. Not a big fan of, what's his name?
The guy. Pierce Brosnan.
No, Pierce Brosnan's. His were good. The dude didn't, he only did two of them.
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton, yeah. I wasn't a big fan of those ones. But I was happy that Roger Moore, yes, we lost him a couple years ago, Sir Roger Moore. I'm glad they had a pop of him, and I definitely have that in my collection now. I need to get another one so I can take it out of the box. But the next one I got, these were GameStop exclusives. This is Freddy Krueger. This is the 8-bit one. And I remember you saying that these ones are a little heavier. They are heavy.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure these are, like, solid. I love this one. It looks cool. He's the 8-bit from the video game, the Nightmare on Elm Street video game. And it looks cool, man. I like it. Most likely I'll get another one so I can also take it out of the box. But I do like how it looks, and it's pretty sweet. But this next one, this is the one I really wanted the most. I pre-ordered it, but it's not here yet. But I was down in Dallas, and I went into a GameStop, and they got theirs. So I was like, man, I'm getting it. Because I wanted one in the box, and the next one I'm getting, I'm going to open. This is the 8-bit Jason Voorhees from the old school Nintendo Friday the 13th game. He's purple, and his body's purple, and his hands and his feet and his mat and the hockey mask are like sky blue kind of. You know me, I love Friday the 13th and I love Jason, so I most definitely had to get this one. This is the exclusive one. The other 8-bit one is just the normal colors of Jason, and I do want to get two of those as well. Keep one in the box and have one open. But yeah, this is the one that I really wanted, and I'm glad I got it. And like I said, I have another one coming as soon as they call and let me. Most likely that will be the one that I open and put on display on my desk. Man, I try not to buy a lot of these, but they've been coming out with awesome ones. So I just had to get them. So these are the newest four that I have as far as my Funko Pop collection. So, but as far as collecting and everything else, this is all I've picked up.
Right. Just on a personal pickup level, ordered at the start of Hot Cash, which is weeks ago. Sometimes it takes Hot Topic forever to ship, but finally, into last week, got in my little Hot Cash order, Vice Admiral Haldo. I was really excited to get her. I swore at first, when I was first looking at it, that a chip was out of the nose, even looking at it. And then the more and more I looked at it, especially in the sun, I was like, man, I think that is a smudge. So I cleaned it off, and I was like, oh, okay. It was such an optical illusion. I swore there was a chip out of it, but I'm glad there wasn't. Also in that order, I got Lockjaw Flocked, the Fall Convention exclusive. The funny thing about this was I had to order in for New York Comic Con exclusives with Hot Topic, and they waited like a month and a half, and like mid-November, all of a sudden they like canceled half my order, and Lockjaw was one of them. And then out of nowhere, they throw them back up there, and I got them. So I was glad. I was glad to, but kind of weird how that happened. I also got April Ludgate from Parks and Rec, and that finishes off my Parks collection for now. I heard there was going to be a John Ralphio at Emerald City Comic Con, but they haven't officially announced it. And when they announced the Bigfoot, they said that was the end of their reveals. So I'm not sure what's going on with the John Ralphio pop. He might be at Emerald City Comic Con, but he might not. So I don't know. We'll see. And last thing I want to mention on the collecting front was just a couple days out from Black Panther now. Every time a Marvel movie comes out, I do a week-long countdown at the Zsu on Instagram. So been having fun doing little Black Panther setups with the pops that I have. I don't have all of them yet, but enough to get by for a little photo countdown. So been keeping up with that. But other than that, that's it for collecting. Ready for Star Wars moment?
You know what? Unless you got something really important, I was going to say let's skip it because our time is running low. We can definitely cover it and do it longer on the next one. I want to do another episode this week.
Yes, good. So. I'll just give you a teaser. The Entertainment Weekly has a Han feature on it, and I got some interesting info on some of the characters. Nothing real spoilers, but fun to share, so I'll share that next time.
Yeah, cool. On to recommendations.
Yes.
We'll start off with music on this one. This is a CD I picked up from the actual artist himself, Doyle. This is from his album, As We Die. Doyle is a guitar player for the Misfits and everything. I don't know exactly when this album came out, but I know he's got a new album out called Abominator. This is the title track, Kiss Me As We Die. This album, the whole album rocks, and the song rocks just as hard. So, those of you Doyle fans, check out. It's on his new album, or not new, but his first solo album, Doyle 2. Kiss Me As We Die.
Interesting. I think my song couldn't be more opposite. Do you remember the parody group from the start of the 2000s, it might have been even 99, Together?
Maybe if I heard the song.
Okay. When you get a chance, yeah, put in the number 2 and then Get Her, Together. The name of the song, the hardest part of breaking up is getting back your stuff. it's funny because you might remember back in the time period, it was when Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, they were the most popular. And if you ever tuned into MTV, when they still played a little bit of videos, they had Total Request Live. And usually those groups dominated those charts. And then this parody group came out of nowhere and had songs like that. And the crazy thing was they actually charted themselves. And like, even though they were like, kind of joking on the boy band genre, they were right there. So anyways, I was reminded of this song by my movie recommendation, which I'll just flow right into. Ghost World. One of the guys in that parody group, he plays a real bit part. He's a theater manager in Ghost World. Way, way back at the start of the pod when we did our top 10 favorite movies of all time. Ghost World Forever was in my top 10. It's only just recently right outside the top 10. But just this last week, I threw it back in, watched it again. I can pretty much quote the movie. Love everything about it. Thora Birch, Scarlett Johansson, Steve Buscemi. If you haven't seen it, yeah, check it out. You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's full of wit and sarcasm, and it's an amazing film. So my recommendation for this week, Ghost World.
As well as your music?
Well, yeah, the Together, Hardest Part of Breaking Up, and then okay. I transitioned into Ghost World. Right, so real quick, a funny thing I wanted to say about that is the reason I saw Ghost World is I had a friend in Reno, and he was a big horror fan too, and he thought Ghost World was a horror movie. We showed up and it's the farthest thing from, so that was kind of funny how I ended up seeing that for the first time.
I am going back to 1983. This is a movie I just picked up when I was down in the LA area. This is during back in the 80s when the 3D movies were coming back. And this is Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. Came out May 1983, and this movie is awesome. I haven't seen it in years. It's probably been over 20 years since the last time I had seen this. And it's fucking just a little goofy sci-fi movie. I mean, the 3D was awesome in it, especially for the time. Directed by Lamont Johnson. Three women make an emergency landing on a planet plagued with a fatal disease, but are captured by a dictator Overdog. Overdog is played by Michael Ironside, awesome actor. Adventure Wolf, that's in the main guy in the movie, goes on a rescue team with Nikki, which is played by the beautiful 80s queen, Molly Ringwald. The only earthling left on a medical expedition. Combining their talents, they try to rescue the women. So that's pretty much your movie. Just pure 80s goodness, awesome 3D. And it's just cheesy and campy and everything. Ernie Hudson is also in this movie. It's good to see him in it. And it's just a good little sci-fi movie if you want to just throw something in and check it out. And I was glad I picked it up on Blu-ray. It's a really good copy. They cleaned it up really good. And I enjoyed this movie. Seeing it in 3D back in the day was awesome. Because when 3D movies started coming back, we saw all of them that came out. And this was one of them. Jaws 3D being my favorite out of the whole 80s 3D movies. But this one is awesome. There was another one that came out after this called Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin. That one's just as goofy, and the 3D was awesome in that one. Kind of had almost the same story. They were sci-fi and all that, hero trying to rescue someone. But Space Hunter, man, it's an awesome movie. If you guys have seen it, you know, but do... if you haven't and you have an interest to see, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. It was on YouTube. It's not anymore. But that's Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Cool. before we go, you know, I always like to hit you with what's out there, what's coming up, what's available. Netflix, I wanted to remind you, Nez, I'd really love to hear what you think of The Polka King. Jack Black, Jenny Slate. It's a really interesting movie. I'd love to hear what you thought about it if you get a chance to check that out sometime this week. I definitely recommend checking that out, The Polka King. Also on Netflix, Cars 3 is up. If you want to check that out, Pirates, Dead Men Tell No Tales, a couple good Disney films just on Netflix. HBO has Wonder Woman up, if you don't already own that. That's up on HBO. New movies in theaters, Black Panther, of course. Can't wait to go check that out. Also, Early Man and Samson. So, that's what's coming up.
I'll definitely get out and see Black Panther. I don't even know what that other one is. But there's still some other movies out there that I want to see. I've pretty much seen everything I wanted to see
right
so far, but. As far as that, I have nothing else, but we have another show coming this week, and because there's a few movies that I wanted to talk about, that as well as watching this movie that everyone wants me to watch on Netflix called The Ritual. I have no idea what it's about, but everyone's bugging me to watch it, so you'll definitely hear my review on that. And there's another review I wanted to throw on this episode, but I had too many other movies, and I will talk about that one as well. So, but as far as that, I have nothing else, and I think we're out of here.
Yeah. Watch Ritual, and then follow it up with Polka King. Come down lightly. So. Anyways, thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. And be good, have fun, be safe.
And be excellent to each other.